This is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome to today's show. This is Rebecca Jernigan, and my guest today is Nahu. He is a return guest, and we are actually going to be taking up a conversation that we began months ago, talking about UFOs, God from inner space. But first, I'd like to say thank you to all of the great affiliates that are here with the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network, John with Ghost Radio Australia, Scott with 1690 AM, Omaha, Nebraska, Richard from Cosmic Dimensions Radio, Jeff with OmniSound Radio One Network, and of course Daniel at WRIN. Thanks to each and every one of you. We really, really appreciate it. You can certainly check them out and more at my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And of course, you can check out all the latest news and information events under the Our Journeys News sections. And if you missed a show, we have archives are free of charge to you. And please don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. Just send us your email address right there in the box, and of course you will get that once a week, and our newsletter is free of charge. And now back to tonight's guest. Tonight we are going to have a really interesting conversation on angel hair, ectoplasm, mediumship. That's just to mention some of the topics that Nahu and I are covering. This show is going to be great fun for all of us who have joined us tonight. I'm glad you're here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome and thank you everyone for joining us again. As I stated to you earlier, my guest is a return guest. His name is Nahu, and we're talking about the book UFOs, God from Inner Space. Now, Nahu, for those of you who have been following Journeys with Rebecca, had been on a few months ago, and we got all started on the book, and we just never got into all of the different facets. So we've invited him back to cover some more of the information in there. Welcome to the show, Nahu.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
This is just totally delightful, totally delightful. And for those of you who did get to the first one, great. And those that you didn't listen to the first one, please check out the archives that you can find right there on Journeys with Rebecca. Go back and listen to the first one. Not right now. We want you to listen to the show, but you can go back and listen to the first one and kind of get caught up as to where everything's at. Now, some of the things that we're going to be talking about today is the origins of our 3D reality. We're going to be talking about mediumship. We're going to be talking about angel hair, ectoplasm. We're hoping we can get into some ESP and some other phenomena such as that. So, Nahu, for those that did not get to hear the first show that you and I did, maybe if you could, in just a few words, kind of put things into a nutshell so they could kind of get caught up, if you will.
All right, I'd be happy to. Essentially, what we're dealing with here in terms of the UFO phenomena, as far as I see it, is a creation and or materialization process in which the object that we refer to as the UFO is created from an internal level. I would liken this internal level to the fourth dimensional plane, which is in essence multidimensional and essentially creates the three-dimensional plane, so that the whole object itself is materialized outward into our three-dimensional world. So that's how the whole process begins. it begins from an internal level and then is materialized outwardly into the physical plane. But we have to understand that when we're looking at the so-called physical plane, we're looking at a number of dimensions, and the ones that we see with the physical senses, we call the three-dimensional plane. Of course, there are many other levels to it.
So that kind of brings us right into one of the topics that we wanted to talk to you today about, which is the origins of our, which is where we're at now, our 3D reality.
Right. The origins of our three-dimensional reality itself has many different levels to it. One of the levels that I deal more specifically with in my book is the domain of the archetypal consciousness, or the archetypal unconscious, as Carl Jung referred to it. It is a realm in which all the information is stored. Some people refer to other levels of it as the Akashic Records, for example. It's the levels of reality in which the symbols and information of all time is integrated and mixed. And from it, much of our physical plane reality is created. So it's created out of an internal space that harbors all this information.
Okay, so let's talk about that internal space for a minute. That is, in your opinion, is that just as real as this 3D reality that we're now living in?
Well, as a matter of fact, David Boren, for example, who wrote a book on quantum physics about the implicate and explicate order, was describing it in very articulate terms as an internal level of reality that unfolds into the what we see as the physical plane out here. So in a very real sense, yes, it is as real as this plane. As a matter of fact, it is continuous with this plane, even though the levels of it are so refined that we can't necessarily apperceive it with the physical senses, you know. And we have evidence of this in the various degrees of radiation that we're able to detect, not only with various kinds of scientific equipment, but with our own physical senses.
Well, that makes sense to me. Absolutely makes sense to me. So let's talk a little bit then. Let's get into, so it's like the whole premise of that which you can perceive, or that which you, when it, how does that, that you can conceive. Yeah, that which you perceive, you can perceive. I just said that totally backwards again.
I think what you're starting to say, what you conceive, you can, perception is a conceptual process.
Yes.
What you perceive is partly a creation.
Yes.
So you're involved in a creative process by the way in which you perceive it, and not isolated from it in a holistic sense. Everything is one whole, and we differentiate which part of it is that we relate to, but we don't realize that as we do that, we're actually involved in a creative process of in that differentiation thing that goes on with that we call perception.
Right. You said that much better than I was able to today.
I hope I made that clear.
You know, I think you did. I mean, I understood it when you said it. I was like, that's much better than how I said it. Well, you know, I'm going to jump around a little bit here, because one of the things that I remembered us talking about was we were talking about psychic phenomena and things of that nature. One of the things that we didn't really get into, which is the kind of fallout, if you will, of some of the more paranormal experiences. Do you understand what I'm saying with that?
When you say fallout, I assume you're indirectly referring to the angel hair, for example?
You know, that would be, fallout was probably not the best thing to have worded it as, but yeah.
We're hoping there's not too much hair that's falling out.
No. We try to keep that on our head. Most of us do anyway. Well, let's talk a little bit about angel hair. What is it? What do you think it is, anyway?
All right. I'll be happy to. For many years, I studied mediumship. I was part of a spiritualist community, I'm sorry, in Southern California, in which I undertook deep internal studies of how this process takes place, and also exercised the materialization process of myself, and began to discover that reality essentially itself is a creative materialization. As I said, that perception is part creation, so that what you perceive, you're also involved in creating. This involves a multidimensional process, one that's overlooked, and one that we can't normally perceive, because, as I said, because of the nature of our senses, we are only able to see part of the process. And what we do see out here in the physical plane is restricted to the time-space matrix that we perceive it in. But on deeper levels of materialization, from where it actually takes place, there's different kinds of stages of this. Part of those stages involves the whole process of making or giving substance to physical reality, in a form of what I call a polymerization process. And all of this emanates from a basic, simple plan, like a monad, as Leibniz described it. It's a singular kind of molecular, circular, or elliptical type of structure, and everything emanates from this basic program. I see it as originating in its essence from God. I say, and when I say God, I should differentiate by saying I believe that God is a spiral force, that it is a spiral pattern inherited in nature, and that it governs this whole creative process as it takes place in the physical plane. So, and getting back to your question and trying to summarize this without going too far into it, what we're seeing is different stages of this internal template as it manifests into the physical object. So you have different stages of it. And one of those stages, just before it materializes into the physical structure we see here, we call protoplasmic structure, or the physical mass itself, we have an intermediary mass, and I call that the angel hair mass, which is a intermediary substance, like, for want of better words, and I think that one of the best words, as a matter of fact, that describes it is ectoplasm itself, which is an intermediary mass produced oftentimes by the medium's psyche. There's different kinds of theories about how this process takes place, whether it comes immediately from the individual or actually it's materialization that comes through the medium from the spirit plane. But nonetheless, the process eventually takes place as a substance that comes or exudes from the body of the sitter, of the medium, and contains in it an imprint of either the spirit or the or some other object or things that's related to some specific element that there may be a question about. For example, if a person's trying to make contact with a spirit, a particular person, it can have elements of them that materializes or can look like them or contain even sound effects and other kinds of things. But to get back to how this interrelates to the UFO, I see the UFO is emanating from this internal spiral force or pattern as a kind of creative circular process that helps to create this spinning impression that we see. It's a movement of the wave itself as it materializes into the physical plane. I'll let you ask more questions if you'd like to, because there's many levels of it, and it can sound somewhat complex if I continue on too much at one time.
Well, that's okay. I do have a question for you as I'm sitting here listening to you. One of the questions that would be, if we're creating that, does that not have to be, if we're talking about extraterrestrials, does it not have to be a complementary thing where both would agree that this would be, for lack of a better way, a manifestation? I mean, do you understand what I'm
where I'm trying to get at with that?
I assume that what you're referring to here is a dual process that involves both some particular extraterrestrial or interdimensional source and the individual that's apprehending it.
Yes.
Or seeing them.
Right, comprehending them. Right, right. Yes.
Because I said apprehending, because I think there's an interaction at a multidimensional level going on. You know, like, for instance, you and I are communicating here verbally on the three-dimensional plane, but on a fourth-dimensional plane, we're communicating probably much better than what we're communicating here.
I would have to agree with that, because words can sometimes actually make us stumble more than they can help us.
That's right.
Because they're very limiting.
And there's so much that we actually sense about a person and know, even though we may not be aware of it. We're being led by all those other impressions on a supersensory level.
That's true. And, you know, people that don't think that they are, I don't know, you know, psychic or whatever, or intuitive, I would beg them to look at how when they are introduced to somebody new, or they find themselves in a new environment, or they may be in a group of people and somebody else comes in, how the energy changes and how they change, how they feel, and how what their emotional response is, because that's how they can tell that they're actually communicating on a deeper level, because of their reactions, and that's an internal process only. You and I both have been, and so has everyone, we've been in circumstances where we've been in rooms and then all of a sudden, you know, we were feeling pretty good, and then it's just like somebody put a wet blanket on us or something, and you turn around and look, and somebody else has entered the room or entered our circle or our space or sphere or whatever you wish to call it,
right.
And it makes us very uncomfortable, or we're not liking it, or on the other hand, we could be very joyous all of a sudden because somebody else has entered the room. Again, their energy has affected us.
That's right. And the same thing, see, many of these encounters with the UFO are done on that extra sensory level. And they're now discovering that a lot of cases now, as a matter of fact, it's kind of evolved somewhat past the nuts and bolts phase to where there's a lot more encounters taking place in which an entity actually walks into the room, or the light is seen in the room, and a person is transported to a swirling light, a form of some sort, and carried into an extra dimension of space and time. We're moving more into a multidimensional phase of the UFO phenomena right now, according to all the research that I've been studying lately. And I get lots of my information from the UFO magazine of Vicki Ecker and Don Ecker, you know.
Right, the, right.
Where, by the way, my UFO book can be found there with the Filament Book Club too.
Oh, great! Well, they're both very well respected people as well in their community. That's for sure. So that's great to know that people can also find another way of getting a hold of your book as well. Well, you know, we're almost out of time on this particular segment. So when we come back, there's a couple things that I'd like to explore with you. And one of them is, as we're talking about the extraterrestrials and how they communicate with us, I'd also like to get into the whole mediumship thing, because there were some questions, too, about what you called the angel hair and the ectoplasm and all that. That might be an indication of something that's been left behind. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that phenomena, as well as what mediumship is and what it isn't, because I think there's a lot of confusion with people, Nahu, on the process of that. And, of course, being where all individuals, obviously that process can change slightly from one individual to another. So you guys don't go away, because we're going to be right back with Nahu and UFOs, Gods from Inner Space. Don't go away.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues at www.cdbaby.com.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall. Only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exist today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. 1-800-729-SAVE.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
So happy you are here with us today on Journeys with Rebecca. We're here again for those of you who might have missed the first segment, UFOs, God from Inner Space with Nahu. And we've talked a great deal about many different things in the first segment. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, Nahu, was when we're talking about mediumship, we'll get a little bit more into that, but I wanted to get into the actual, you were talking about angel hair and ectoplasm and all of that. One question first is, how is it that when some people are doing this that there's an actual biological remnant, so to speak, that stays, and with many people there is no biological evidence of that energy, spirit, entity, whatever, that has come through the medium? How come that happens with some and not with everyone?
Well, I think that are you speaking of more specifically, some show an actual residue or some show an actual spirit or ectoplasmic form where others don't have one?
Yeah.
Well, there's different kinds of mediums. There's mental mediums. A spirit medium is one that's actually able to produce a substance that emanates from different orifices of the body, for example. Can even emanate from the navel, as a matter of fact. But it comes from a number of orifices of the physical body, and it's made up of basic substances that are excreted by the body, including mucus, and it is similar in structure to mucus itself, or protoplasm, on a very, very elementary level, you know.
Right.
So it is a polymerization process in itself, because it is a polymer or a form that's created to project or a structure for the spirit form to manifest itself in. So it comes out of the medium. So it's partly the medium, and it's partly the presence of the spirit itself, or the whatever it is that they're in contact with at the particular time. There's been a lot of different kinds of things that people materialize, including objects. Trumpets, strange balls, bells, even flowers, you know, that have materialized and dematerialized. And some of them leave a residue, some don't. Most of them don't leave any residue, but they leave kind of a slime or a wetness. Some leave a kind of an oily residue. I've been at some seances where everything was covered with a kind of an oil, and it's kind of associated with the anointing oil that's oftentimes associated with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit. It is the same or very similar to the substance that is allied to the angel hair. Angel hair is drier, though, because it's made up of more mineral elements. That's the reason why they've found all different kinds of mineral elements in the angel hair residue, because it's made up more of minerals itself and not just the mucus substances or chemical substances found in the body. Angel hair is also associated with, and it's interesting that they use the term angel hair because it's associated with a spirit or a heavenly body.
Wow.
You know, that's the symbolic and the actual correlation between the two that a lot of people overlooked, you know, and many of the angels have been seen had hair. It's all with hair. I mean, which means that I think that partly what they were seeing is radiations of the halo or corona that surrounds our fields, energy fields. For example, Ted Sirius did photography, in which he was able to visualize something, and it made an imprint on a photographic plate.
Wow.
Well, that's the same kind of an ally to the same kind of phenomena that we see with curling in photography. You can see the outline of the imprint of the light inwardly that we're a part of, radiating around the external surface of the body. We're surrounded by these fields, and people don't normally see them, like the chakras, for example. Most people can't see the chakras, but they're there. There's a lot of energy points, like the meridians, for example. They're real fields that can be tuned into and sensed, and in some ways, even seen. I can see interdimensionally. I can see the internal organs in people, for example. That's one of my fortes, things that I evolved from my first contact with the UFO. I think it came specifically from my telepathic communication that I had with the first two beings that I encountered back in the 60s. They precipitated or created an awareness in me that brought about a transformation that allowed these different skills or perceptual skills to develop, and they enhanced them just by the nearness of them, you know, the encounter itself. And this has happened to many people, not just me, but to thousands of people. And there's many famous classic cases that have been reported that can be found throughout the annals of ufology.
Well, I think that's interesting that you brought that up, because most people who become aware and certainly display gifts, such as yourself, myself, and many others, it usually happens because of some kind of an incident. We'll call it that. That sometimes has a negative connotation. It wasn't meant to be a negative statement, but you know, they've had a near-death experience. In your case, you had a visitation, a communication. In my case, it was a trauma for me. I had the abilities from when I was a child. I mean, I displayed those abilities, but then those abilities become honed and become more specified to the individual. At least it did for me after the trauma. So
yeah.
I don't know. That just seems to be kind of the whole theme of anybody that I've ever spoke to, is that it usually has an event or an incident that has happened that allows for that expansion.
Well, I think it's because, and one of the first things I brought up today when we were first talking was about this other realm that we're influenced by, the archetypal realm, if you will, and which we encounter symbols. Jung wrote a very noteworthy book about the impact of the mandala, or the symbol of transformation, which I see, and he compared it to also the UFO shape itself. And that's one basic form that's been seen throughout history, and it's never varied tremendously. It's followed the same basic pattern, and it can be found throughout nature. The circular, elliptical, lens shape, all of it has a sort of a vortical or a tetrahedral shape. I think it's dualistic, it's multidimensional, and it can change from a tetrahedron pyramid to a vortex in an instant, depending on where the energy's at. That's how you get an either negative or positive kind of experience, so to speak. It's also part of the whole yin-yang kind of a concept. But basically, I see that as the essence of this creative process that's involved. The angel hair, though, to get back to the angel hair, is a thickening of the radiation, in a sense, that emanates naturally from our system, from our bodies, but it begins on the psychic or the cosmic level, and it gradually materializes an actual physical form or shape as it moves into the physical plane. Our bodies are, in essence, materializations. People don't realize that. I mean, we have no way of actually knowing that, because we're limited by the way that our senses encounter or interpret physical reality. But at a very deep level, it begins with a materialization process, because if you go down deep enough into the quantum level of our very being, it is totally ruled by the observation principle. And that's been proven in quantum physics to be a reality. We create what we see. So we're involved in a creative process at a very deep level, even though we may not be able to perceive it normally. The expanded awareness, when we encounter these symbols from the collective unconscious, activates our comprehension or awareness, and therefore we're able to perceive more deeply a process which is natural and occurring all the time.
Well, and I think one of the things, too, that I'd like to mention here is that it's my understanding that we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
That's right. I like that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, I didn't coin that phrase. I wish I had of, but that's my understanding. And as I journey through this dimension of life, I recognize that that's more true. The older I get, the more truth I believe in that. Just through the various information that I've garnered through my meditations, through what I call my dream walking and all of the other visions and everything else, that the communications on all different levels with different entities, different beings, different realms, if you will. So it is really made me understand tremendously the statement that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and we came to be in this reality by choice. And it was a choice that we actively made, and so, you know, we're here for the experience of being human.
Well, you could see it at a very infantile level, that it's kind of a discovery process, that as just children, we're much closer to the reality of our infinite unity with all that is, and that as we grow up into what we call or mature into adulthood, we get more involved into the external physical or three-dimensional reality and lose contact with this fourth-dimensional sense of unity that we had originally and that we later on gained as we get older. And I think part of what we call senility or the aging process is partially a result of the fact that we get busy on other planes again. We become more involved in them, and the people who are more aware of that multidimensionality can seem to be even a little spacey, you know.
Right.
Disconnected, but really, in truth, they're much more connected than a lot of people are who are busily involved in the three-dimensional plane.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I honestly feel like that there's a lot of things that have been misdiagnosed, for the lack of a better way of saying it, you know, people with mental, they call them mental afflictions. And I'm thinking, well, who's really mentally afflicted here? You know, if they're communing with higher energies or the God source or their angels or whatever it may be, then I think we're the ones that is missing out, not them. And it's our
right.
perspective here that this doesn't fit into any neat little box. And so I would have to tell you, I would agree with a lot of what you've just said, and especially when we're talking about those who get up in their aging years, and it's not senility. I think the old term used to be, they called it dementia, which
right.
is just a really, that's just really a horrid little name for me. I just don't like that word.
I don't either, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I think they're probably happier now than they've ever been, except for when they were born, maybe.
Well, here's another thing, too, is the fact that we are multidimensional beings, and we're expected to be very singular beings when it's totally against our nature.
True.
For instance, fact is that I do readings, and I work with an individual who had what he termed a mental illness. He called MPD, or multiple personality disorder, dissociative. And I told him, from what I've discovered, don't feel alone. We're all multiples. We all have multiple personalities. We have many different sides and many different levels. And you could just be, and I think he was, too, because I saw him as extremely intelligent, drawing from some of these other personalities that other people bypass in their tendency towards singularity in their focus, you know. It's like a narrow focus. Let's face it, if you're not versatile and have a too singular of a focus, you become very inflexible and unable to change. You need that to grow, and if we don't recognize our multidimensionality, we are much more ill than the person who is multidimensional in their approach.
Well, and that's true. And, you know, as far as that whole thing, the only thing that I can tell you that I've discovered about people that have been diagnosed MPD is that what happens is that one dimension or one thing about them does not connect with another. And that's why a lot of times they don't know that they have this multiple personality. It's like they just go to sleep, or they wake up and they're somewhere else. So it's really about being, maybe the term to use would be more like fragmented, or not being aware of what the other parts of self is doing, because there's many parts to us. We're not just this, as you said, this singular entity standing here. We're everywhere. I mean, we are.
Yes.
And so if we become aware of all of those different parts of us, and all parts are aware of all other parts, then we become truly multidimensional.
And also, that whole process of becoming reintegrated or reunited from our fragmented state, we're actually more of a fragmented state when we're singular.
True.
We become more reintegrated. There's an instigatory thing that takes place, a stimuli, and I think part of it is the UFO symbol, for example, which is a transcendental symbol of God itself, the divinity, or the divine, coming into our lives. We're suddenly impressed with this wholeness that we've overlooked, and as a result, it instigates a complete transformational process in which we suddenly become more aware of our unity and wholeness with these other parts.
And you know what? That's very well put. And you know, we're almost out of time in this segment, so you guys that are out there listening, you stay with us, because we're going to be back with more of Nahu and UFOs, God from Inner Space. Stay right here. We'll be right back.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-95-TAROT. That's 1-888-95-TAROT. 858-2768. Find out where your life's journeys will take you.
The recording industry is at it again. They're attempting to shut down all internet radio stations. That is, unless they agree to pay them more money than the business could ever possibly make. Protect your right to the most diverse internet content landscape. Write or email your congressman and senator and ask them to work to repeal the decision of March 2nd by the Copyright Royalty Board. SaveNetRadio.org. Do it now. SaveNetRadio.org.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all the aspects of paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now, 1-800-728-2730. Again, that's 1-800-728-2730. Or visit their website, www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background, their religion, their lifestyle.
It's about accepting people for who they are as individuals.
Their culture, their family, their traditions.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversities that make us great.
Tolerance. Honor the differences.
Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
All right. Thanks for rejoining us again. Here we are with Nahu, UFOs, gods from inner space. Now, you know, Nahu, I think that probably through both interviews that we've had here, both conversations, I hate calling them interviews, that we've had, which is the one previous and then this one.
Sharing.
Yes, it's sharing. Sharing information. You have some really great thoughts on the whole transformational process. I would love for you to share that with the audience.
I probably could summarize it because I realize that you're getting a little short on time. So let's refer back to the last few pages of my book, which I attempt, let's say, to summarize it in a grand unified theory. And it does specifically deal with the whole transformational process and its relationship to the UFO itself. Let me read some of these principles to you. One, we create the world from within, and the principle of its manifestation proceeds wholly in every part from a spiral template. The spiral template equates to God and is a living principle that gives birth to all dimensions and to the vibratory patterns that sympathetically unite them. Similar to the relationship of brain to body, the spiral template maintains the relationship of the whole to its part. So there's an integral relationship between the whole and the part, and it's essentially right there in your brain, which, strangely enough, is a non-sensate organism, even though it works paradoxically as the sole center of sensate extensions. Through multidimensional worlds, information is fed back to this spiral template central hub, and then this data is reintegrated into the whole. The spiral template, by nature, is a wave that is malleable, fluidic, and light-producing. I'd like to stop right there and then think about that just for a moment, in the fact that we are essentially a malleable, fluidic substance, you know. The Philosopher's Stone was often referred to as kind of associated with the symbol of water or fluid, and the UFO materialization and fluid is a semi-permeable membrane or substance that has a fluidic-like nature, and it is synonymous with our own inner nature, which is also in turn related to spirit, which is water, in essence, or associated with water. Therefore, it carries thought forms. The whole process of thought forms is that it creates a certain singular monadic pattern, like a mandala, that is carried and extends itself in all kinds of shapes and forms. There are many kinds of UFOs, so in a sense we're seeing the divine whole in its most malleable forms. That's the reason why it's so interdimensional. Part of the UFO is so interdimensional is the fact that it can vacillate interdimensionally so quickly that it can disappear from sight in a moment. That's because it doesn't have the same substance that most physical phenomena has. It's malleable. It's fluidic. It can be altered rapidly. It can disappear, reemerge into the great unknown, so to speak. Its essence is the essence of God, which is totally changeable and permeable. Now, I bring that up and say that, and I close with that idea that basically that's the essence of our being, too. The transformational process is no less akin because it reflects the psychological and spiritual essence of our ability to make change and transformation when we encounter this divine example in the UFO or in any symbol that's of a transcendental nature, and any encounter with the inner essence of life, which manifests itself as light. That's the best way to describe it. That's the reason why when people die or leave their body, the first thing they talk about is seeing the light. That's because they're getting more of the light. They're getting closer to our inner essence, which is more fluidic in its essence, too, by the way.
Well, and I can comprehend that because I had a near-death experience in which I, played in the light because I certainly didn't want to come back.
Uh-huh.
It was beautiful being there. So, yeah, I recognize that statement when you say that. So I think there's other people out there that have also had those kind of experiences that can really relate to that statement, Nahu. That's cool.
Yeah, and I think there's one reason why, and I'll just throw this in just for a moment, just to, because it's so interesting, is the fact that dolphin and whales have been associated so much with fluid mediums, and partly because of their astounding resonating sensitivity to sound, you know? They can pick up on sounds, and they navigate through echo relocation, which is sound navigation. And it's best utilized in a watery medium.
Wow, isn't that awesome? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, before we run out of time, let's let everyone know where they can get your book, how they get a hold of you, and all of that good stuff, your website, all the good stuff that's going on with you.
Okay, I am now in the process of creating a new website called NahuTheProphet.com. It should be up today. If it's not, and they still try to get a hold of me, the best way to get a hold of it is to Nahudini, the number 2.com. Now, Nahudini is spelled Nahudini, like Houdini, the number 2@AOL.com, or they can simply call me at 541-683-6704. I'm also available at the Filament Book Club. That's with the UFO magazine in ebook form. That's a real inexpensive way to get the book, which is nearly 300-page book for, I think, they're selling it for $10. So that's a real inexpensive version.
Well, that's really great. That's good to know. I mean, you know, everyone needs to watch Penny, so it gives them all different kinds of ways and directions in which to get your book. And the other thing I want to let people know, too, is that right there on the front page of Journeys with Rebecca, right underneath this picture, is going to be the hot link to that website, so you can go over there and check out Nahu. Nahu, this has absolutely been a delight, my dear, to have you back on the show. We are so grateful that you were able to show up here for us today, and we wish you very well. And we thank you so much for being here with us.
Very exciting, very interesting. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for inviting me, and also thank you to the listeners for tuning in.
That's right. You're right on that. You guys don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Rebecca Jernigan, host of Journeys with Rebecca. As a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, let me help answer your life's questions. Schedule your personal and private reading appointment with me. Call 1-888-958-2768 or log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com. Where will your life's journey lead you?
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Thank you to my wonderful guest, Nahu, the author of UFOs, God from Inner Space, and his website is nahutheprophet.com, and you can find out more information on him at my website, and that's journeyswithrebecca.com. And please check out the official sponsor of Journeys with Rebecca radio show, and that is Fate Magazine. And of course, while you're visiting there at the website, you can find out information on how you, too, can become a sponsor of the show. You know, I love to hear from all the listeners out there, so write to me. Let me know what you think of the show or my guest. Email me at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com or leave a message for me on my comment line, 913-828-5559. Now, next week's guest is going to be Dr. Mitchell Gibson discussing your immortal body of light. Now, this show will be enlightening, and we will be taking your calls. So here's the number for next week's live show on Saturday at 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 913-871-8177. And, of course, that number will be posted to the website as well. And please check out the website for all the special events. As I've been stating, I'm going to be traveling around the country facilitating workshops, spirit guide communications, meditations, others. So if you're interested in hosting one or would like to attend one in your city, please contact me, mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Nahu has been a delightful guest today. I do invite you to go and check out his website. I do go and invite you to check out some of the past guests that we've had here on Journeys with Rebecca. They're all been very delightful, and of course the free archives that you can find right there from the front page. So, until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings, and good night.